Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for these days, and we praise you for this hour. And we thank you, Father, that you're working in such a way in this hour as to bring those whose hearts are wholly given to you together, and you are preparing them for this journey, this magnificent journey ahead. And so we praise you for that, Father, and we just give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title that God gave me for this entire set of teachings is called The True Christian Life and the Plan of God. And we're going to cover a lot of topics. I'm not going to hurry, but we're going to cover a lot of topics. And today's teaching is called The Divine Requirement and the Inner Chamber, Part 1, because today I'm going to lay a foundation it's a foundation that's necessary for every last Christian. Every last person who would call himself a Christian in this hour to go on in the things of God. For 2,000 years, the devil has fought and scratched to institutionalize the church and traditionalize the church. But the good news is that in one fell swoop, God is about to confront religious spirits, and he's about to raise up those anointed servants, men and women, he's going to use to bring people into that place of perfect liberty. So we're going to cover a lot of topics with that. But again, the things I'm talking about today, about the divine requirement, and I'm going to explain that, and the inner chamber, are foundational and key to every Christian, if that Christian desires to fulfill their destiny in Christ. Absolutely. So some of the things we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the love of the Father. We're going to talk about divine restoration. And believe me, that's an amazing subject, because we're going to see things in this hour. We're going to see people get set free. We're going to see people get healed and restored, first and foremost, to their relationship with God, which is important. We're going to talk about consecration and holiness. As I said, the inner chamber, hearts wholly given to God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Perfect obedience and what that constitutes in the sight of God. We're going to talk about absolute faith and perfect love and actually perfect obedience. All three of those go together. We're going to talk about the fullness of our authority in Christ and the fullness of our inheritance. It's magnificent. I mean, this job's already been done by Jesus. We're going to talk about the love walk. We're going to talk about the importance of revelation knowledge as opposed to the alternative. And we're going to talk about the one accord and true unity that God so desires. And we're going to talk about divine or glorious connections that God's establishing in this hour worldwide, in different cities, in every nation, throughout the body of Christ. So, you know, I'll share some things on that as far as the vision God gave me and the spiritual environments, or the true spiritual environments that those lead to. We're going to talk a bit about the fivefold ministry. We're going to talk about apostles and prophets and their role in this hour. There's been so much abuse in the church. I know you all know that. But I'm telling you, God's got a plan, and he's going to expose and eliminate that which is apart from Christ. And we're going to talk about the defeated one. That's the title of this particular chapter. We're going to talk about our authority in Christ, and we're going to realize that Satan is a defeated foe. And we're going to learn to take our authority, and we need to take our authority. This is a dangerous hour for those who are not walking in the fullness of all that God has blessed us with in Christ. We're going to talk about covenant. And relationship to a degree, I'm not sure how much. The importance of forgiveness and the danger of unforgiveness. From time to time and throughout the series, I will talk about the importance of the handmaidens or the daughters of God in this. That has been one of Satan's chief schemes over the years, actually to cut the body of Christ in half, basically, and render it powerless, not to mention the strife and division that causes when the men are not in agreement with God on the matter of his daughters, as well as marriages, not just ministries. We're going to talk about true prosperity or divine prosperity. Again, a lot of abuses, a lot of misunderstanding, but it's very clear, it's very simple, and God has a very distinct purpose in that. And it has nothing to do with the love of money, absolutely. So as I begin today and begin to talk about the divine requirement, you're going to understand that everything of all these topics are based on a heart that's wholly given to God. The whole Bible was written that way. So we'll get started now. In Luke 10:27, I will go to some scriptures. I've got the scriptures written here, but of course you can check the references. I guarantee it's not a bogus Bible. The divine requirement's found in Luke 10:27, and it states, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." The word "all" is an interesting word, because it's a word it's not finite in terms, it's infinite, because you can go out and you can talk about all the cars in the parking lot or all the people in the stadium, but that's not all, really. It's all for that limited thing. But when we talk about all in the sense of God, it means all, and it refers to God. So that's what he requires of us. And it's important for God's people in this hour to understand that a heart wholly given to God is the key to understanding all things. I run across people all over the place, and you know, they really want to hear God. They really want to know what he's saying. But the key is to hearing him and to understanding what he's saying is to be totally sold out to him. And in that way, all the things are broken down. And again, I'm going to share more in more detail this process, but all the things that pertain to self-desire as opposed to godly desire are broken down. And things get much simpler when our hearts are wholly given to God. A lot of the problems, a lot of the quote-unquote counseling that goes on now would be totally unnecessary if the Christian just applied themselves to this requirement and did it. And again, I'm going to show you how, because we're going to talk about the inner chamber. And it's been years now, and it's amazing looking back how fast the years have gone. It's amazing the lessons that I've learned, and it's amazing sometimes how long it took to learn them. But having said that, the good news is that as these messages go forth from the throne room in this hour, the people that hear them, whose hearts are towards God, are going to be able to grasp this stuff. It's not going to take 5, 10, 15 years of that process of learning to live the life of the cross. People are going to understand what's required, and they're going to partake of the anointing that's there to empower them to do it. This is all about God's power. Everything I'm talking to you, it's all about God's power. And the fact is, we just need to give our hearts wholly to him and let the Father be the Father in our life, and let Jesus be Jesus in our life, and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit in our life. That's absolutely key to all things. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see or know God." Again, that heart wholly given, they shall see or know God. And when God talks about seeing, he's always talking in terms of a revelation of himself by his Spirit. So many people have so many ideas of God and what he is. And unfortunately, a lot of that is based on their own previous experience with authorities in their life, beginning from the time when we're young and we have parents, our parents. And very few people are fortunate enough to have had godly parents in the sense that many aren't, but also in the sense that even if they were godly parents, it was an age wherein certain things had not been revealed or were not being taught in the church. And so parents did the best they could, but it wasn't the ultimate that God had. But of course, God's faithful. And that's why there's going to be a lot of divine restoration, because these people didn't consciously misrepresent God. But now God is revealing himself to his children. The Father's revealing himself to his children. Jesus is being revealed in his glory, in his authority. We see bumper stickers saying Jesus is Lord. But now we're going to walk that, and we're going to know him as Lord. That's very important. I just want you to know that there will be no such thing as hopelessness in the midst of God's people in this hour, those who are truly seeking him, because Jesus is coming on the scene. In this last hour, only those whose heart is pure before the Father will be able to see and understand his true and absolute kingdom purposes, without exception. Now, we all know about the different things and the good works that have gone on in the church. Good doesn't necessarily mean God, obviously. And the fact is, with the good intentions of man, and of course, as these things took legs and things got so big and so out of hand, it's almost like man was forced to take control himself. They really weren't, but they did. And so a lot of things were done, but they weren't things that were established from the heart of God and in the power of the Spirit. And consequently, we've got a lot of situations where money's being poured into dead works. We've got a lot of buildings being built and a lot of people doing a lot of things, but we don't see the fruit of that. We don't see people being led into holiness. And that's what it's all about, because when you see a child of God come into holiness, it's just like you know, God has a hold of their life, and they're going to do exactly what he tells them. And there's going to be great power and great results and great fruit. Well, not only is that true for an individual, but as God brings these individuals together in this hour, we are going to see a corporate power this earth has not seen before, whether it's two people or whether it's 10 people or so on. And again, I'm going to talk about this as through the week. But the bottom line is that, you know, we need to up our thinking. We need to understand that God's had this plan all along. This isn't some new doctrine. This just happens to be true doctrine. And the fact is that you can see the types and symbols and the patterns right from Genesis right to Revelation. Absolutely all there. But it's all predicated on a heart wholly given to God. In Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in earth and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." These are amazing words when you really meditate on them and understand what Paul's saying. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, this is really the theme for the week. When we talk about the true Christian life, we're talking about being filled up to all the fullness of God. Another scripture, which is one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God." We're talking about revelation knowledge now. "And of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." You see the resounding absoluteness in the Word of God, and it's throughout. "Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." Again, true knowledge is revelation knowledge. "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises." Those are not light words, precious and magnificent. "So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." And two things there. One, we're called to not be in heart fellowship with the world. Now, when we talk about the world, we're talking about the world system. And the basic characteristic of the world system is self, selfishness, and pride. And fear. Of course, it's controlled by fear. And actually, the word lust defined there, really, in a spiritual sense, lust is defined as the desire for the things or anything that is apart from God. So when we're talking about holiness and godly desire, it's just simply a desire for the things of God and not the things of the world. If there's any mixture at all in this last hour, it will stick out very clearly. Another thing that's important, the divine requirement, again, that's Luke 10:27, is not for some special task force. We are a special task force in the sense that we are a corporate church and a remnant church, and the body of Christ is being raised up, and God will minister to the church at large through a remnant church, a holy vessel. But the fact is, really, it's God's will for every one of his children to do great and mighty exploits in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're the church janitor or if you're a prophet. It doesn't make any difference. And I'm going to share a vision here shortly that God gave me concerning that. Again, we need to see all things through the eyes of the Father in this hour, because it's clear and it's absolute and it's glorious, absolutely. So, we're not a special task force in ourselves. In other words, some elitists. It's just simply the fact that God always uses forerunners. He's used it and he always uses the pattern of using the few to bless the many. It's not all, you know, build the biggest church and then we'll bless the many. No, it doesn't work that way. He'll start with small beginnings, but he'll use one man, for instance, for Moses, leading an entire nation out of bondage. So the fact is, a lot of things are coming to mind now, but we have to understand that in John 14, verses 21 and 23, as you meditate on those, we have the promise that the Father and Jesus are going to come and abide with us and disclose themselves to us. Now, people bypass those sort of things, but that is something that's very real to the Father's heart. Like, you know, we look at earthly parents or earthly parents ourselves, and we don't pride ourselves, but we see the good things in parenthood, and we say, oh, it's so wonderful to bless our children, and it's so wonderful, you know, when they come and visit, and so on and so forth. But we don't realize that every parental attribute is attributed to God that we have. And when you strip that down to its purest point, not only as a parent, you're going to have the wisdom of God. You're going to know the Father to a degree, and you're just going to simply represent Him perfectly. And I'm saying He is perfect. The one thing this week that I'll dwell on a lot is He is perfect, absolutely perfect. I don't care whether you need wisdom to cross the street or whether you're establishing some big work. He is perfect. And when we're faithful to acknowledge Him in all our ways, He will direct our paths perfectly in that. If we want best for somebody that crosses our path, then we simply need to hook into God, be obedient to Him, and whatever He says, do. And whether they like it or not, sometimes they don't, but they will actually, what's done and what's said will be for their greatest eternal benefit. That's very, very important. Another thing, the essence of all true ministry is based in absolute surrender. Okay, that's again, getting back to this loving the Lord our God with all of our heart. And if you get an exhaustive concordance and look at the word all, it's there a great number of times. I forget the exact number, but I believe it's in over 1,000, I believe. It may be more. And if you do a study on that, you'll see the character of God. So now I'm going to move on and begin to talk about the inner chamber. And this is really, really important. This is something that when I started out years ago, God worked it out that I would be separated into a place of extreme closeness to Him, just the way He worked it out. I didn't plan it. I was content just to go on a normal way, but He did. And the fact is that I spent, even though I was doing regular things, He did take me out of my last secular job, but I was still doing regular things. And in that time, He began to reveal Himself to me. And it was totally supernatural. Some of the things you mentioned in the beginning, there was persecution at first because God was calling me outside that body. And I didn't understand. I was living day by day and just simply obeying Him. And I was making good money. I mean, there was really no reason for me to do that. But without going into all that, He had a task for me in the days ahead. And one of those tasks was to help lead His people into an absolute trust of Him. And to do that, I needed to experience that. And I often tell people that I've been, it's 25 years now, this August, and I tell people I've been at my own testimony, and it's hard to believe. So He's, you know, He's done that, and He continues to do that. But now it's just an awesome pleasure to know Him and to trust Him and to be able to impart what He shared with me to other people. Because the life, even though we're still in this world, we're not to be of it. And we can walk in the kingdom here in this earth and represent Him perfectly. And that's the hour we're in. So in Psalm 110, 1-3, the scripture says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer," that's a key word, "freely in the day of your power. In holy array from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew." Now, there's a lot in that passage. Another thing that I always tell people is that if you have an exhaustive concordance, if you will do a word search on Zion, you will find some very interesting things. Because Zion is a type and symbol of the spotless and unblemished church that God is talking about through Paul in Ephesians. And so when you begin to put the prophecies concerning Zion, of course it refers to Israel too, but every prophecy is progressive in nature. When you put those things together, you begin to see a clear picture of what God is going to do in the church in this final hour. So I would recommend that to anybody, because it's almost hard to believe these words are in the Bible, but they're there and they're real. And God is again, as I share some of these things with you, you'll see the pattern that God has established for His church in this hour. And but the key to this particular scripture, and this is what I'm going to go on to talk about, is that in this last hour, God is raising up a people who are volunteering freely to come into his presence and to come to know him and to love him and to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And, you know, when we talk about obedience, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm going to talk more on this. When we talk about obedience, we're not just talking about figuring out something that looks good and do it, and or something that looks good in the sight of people, or certainly not doing something to look good, you know, just for our own sake. We're talking about two elements in perfect obedience. Number one is to get a revelation from God of his will, which is simple enough. And that applies to every scripture. Even the scripture that says, go out into all the world and preach to all creation. Well, some people have taken that and they just went. I mean, they're in Africa, China, but they weren't supposed to go. I'm just, you know, and of course, some have heard and gone. That's fine. But here's the second part. First of all, get a revelation of God's will on whatever level you're seeking him on. And then from A to Z, carry that will out by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's what perfect obedience is in the sight of God. And the good news is, it's his power that causes us to do that. First of all, the kingdom cycle, and again, I'm going to go into more detail on these, but the key kingdom cycle is faith, love, and obedience. In other words, you walk in faith, you acknowledge God in all your ways, you exercise faith in the will of God, the word of God, you obey him, you get a revelation of his love, you obey him. It's all together. You can't separate those three things. In other words, if you're walking by faith, you're going to be walking in love and obedience. If you're walking in love, you're going to be walking in faith and obedience. You can't separate those things. And of course, the alternative to that is fear, hatred or pride, and disobedience. And that's the way of the world, absolutely. And it's the way of the carnal child of God. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, in Proverbs 3, it talks about not leaning on our own understanding. So if we will get a revelation of God's will and we will step forth in obedience in the power of the Holy Spirit as he gives unction, and sometimes it's immediate and sometimes we need to wait a little while after we get the revelation. And, you know, that's true about personal prophecy. I mean, if you receive a true word of personal prophecy, sometimes that doesn't come to pass next week. And that's part of that learning process that we go through. But as you hold fast to that, it will come to pass by the power of the Holy Spirit. A number of years ago, God gave me a teaching, and the title was Intimacy, the Key to the Fullness of Transition. And the intimacy we're talking about here is intimacy with God, in fellowship with him and his word, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in his presence. And the transition that's being talked about here is the transition from the world and its ways, you know, because we're all kind of born into this atmosphere of the world, and we still have to function in it. But actually, there's a transition that God wants us to make, even though we're in the world, and that's into the fullness of kingdom living. And really, it's quite simple. When you talk about kingdom living, you think of the words of Jesus when he talked about the different parables and talked about the way of the kingdom and going through all that. And really, that's how we're to walk in this earth. We are to demonstrate the kingdom in word and in power right now. And you can do it. There's a lot of mindsets that say you can't do it, but you can. Is it going to provoke reaction? It most certainly is. But as Christians, we're not looking to go out and provoke reaction. We're going to go out there with the love of God, and we're going to be a light to this world. That's why it provokes reaction. I mean, when Paul began to preach, go out there, he everywhere he opened his mouth, a riot broke out. And so there was a reaction. And this is not a negative thing. There's a great separation process going on now in the midst of the body of Christ. Now, for some, that's a dirty word, but I'm not talking about the division that Satan tries to bring in through strife and all the negative aspects of self and all the different things like that. I'm talking about people being raised up that know the will of God and that are seeking to do the will of God at all costs themselves, and they're not moved by what people think. And again, I'm going to talk about that because there's a way we can be free of the fear of man. Absolutely. And it comes right from what I'm about to share with you here. You know, the truth of this whole thing is that we shouldn't be a people who walk by fear. And it's not like God is coming down saying rebuke us in that sense. He's saying, I've already made the way. Right. You know, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's a good scripture. A spirit of power and of love. You can't separate those two. If you're walking in love, you're going to walk in power. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love casts out all fear. You see? So again, you get the picture that when we're coming into that place where the love of God is being shed abroad in our heart, as it says in Romans 5:5, then that's going to cast out that ground of fear, expose it, and cast it out. And all the things I'm sharing to you are all linked. I mean, everything. And that's why the foundation for realizing that we need to love God with all our heart and seek His plan for our life. I tried to make plans for my life, and it was a disaster. And I had every means to succeed, but it was a disaster because God had other plans. But boy, since then, now I found out, don't talk to me about anything but God's plan. It is amazing. It is amazing. And yeah, sure, it does seem difficult at times in the beginning of our walk because we're making a complete transition. And everything's strange, and our friends are strange, or in some cases our previous friends are strange. But the bottom line is God has raised up a group of people in the earth in this hour that have forged ahead and sought His will more than their own fear, their own emotional attachments. And because of that, God's going to use them to get many, many others free. And that's what it's all about. I mean, we shouldn't see people walking around in bondage. And it's really, as you all know this, through the years, I've been in a position where I just didn't have what it took to help people that they needed it. If they needed food, I didn't have the food for them. If they needed a word, I didn't have the word necessarily. You know, and I always went to God, and it's heartbreaking. But in this hour, God is going to meet the needs of the people. And the fact is that at the end of the quotation of that Peter made of Joel's prophecy, I believe it's Acts 2:21, the last part of that where it says, you know, about the Spirit being poured out. But at the very end of that, he gets down to the very end and he says, "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, that's not just the word meaning new birth. That's a different word. This is the word meaning soteria, which is deliverance from every temporal evil, which means the fullness of our salvation. So what that speaks to me of is, as when people get born again in this hour and people get free from religious thinking, they're going to enter into the fullness of all that God planned for them like that. And I mean that. I mean, that's absolutely true. God told me, I was working with a youth group 25 years ago, and the fact was I was in a battle. Apparently the devil knew my call, but I didn't. So I was wondering what in heaven's name is going on. But it was just a battle day and night for a long period of time, and it was hard. But the fact is, so one night I prayed and I said, are these kids going to have to go through the same thing I'm going through? I wasn't complaining, but I thought, I mean, if everybody has to go through this, and it takes as long as it took me, we're going to be here a long time. And he said, no, he said, in the final hour, he said that, no, it won't. This will be accelerated. There will be an exponential increase and acceleration in His power, and it will change hearts. And I'll tell you this, the people out there in the world, even the most rebellious youth you can think of, they're being prepared. You know, the devil really shot himself in the foot. He's actually raised up a whole army or a whole generation of unchurched people that have no religious bondage. And when they see the truth and they see the love of God, they are going to break free in power, and they're going to turn on the devil. And that's why he's got a problem in these days. Absolutely. So the word intimacy is defined as, it's characterized by pronounced closeness of friendship or association, deeply personal. Fullness, the state or quality of being full. And transition, the act or state of passing from one place, condition or action to another, and or the including the time or period of such place or passage, So again, we're all in transition in this hour. As a matter of fact, since the beginning of the year, particularly the last 2 months, there has been a real state of transition going on for those whose hearts are wholly given to God. He's making changes in our life. He's making putting us in a place where we'll make the necessary adjustments. And this is all personal things I'm talking. This is what God will reveal to each individual heart. And it seems a little strange, it seems a little disorienting, but the fact is that the fruit of this particular passage, two things. One, he's leading his people into an absolute trust in him. And from that place, you can walk in that faith or abide in that faith, love, and obedience I talked about. And that is the place of power and the release of power. And you see, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the fact is, when people come into the presence of God and they can hear the voice of God, and the voice of God isn't, for the most part, an audible voice that comes down like a lightning bolt from heaven. It's just a knowing in our spirit. Why? Because His Word's in there, and because not only do we know His Word, but we know the author of that Word personally, and there's a connection there that's made. And I'm going to go on and share some things about that with you. The practical aspects of the inner chamber, because this isn't some ethereal thing where you go and sit in the side of a hill, and this is a spiritual reality that's very, very key. Again, the principles of the kingdom are very simple, but the understanding of them is predicated upon one having a deeper revelation of the absoluteness of God. And the only way that we're going to know that is to spend time in His presence. Because when He reveals His Word to you in the inner chamber, it comes in a new and fresh way. That's why we can read, for instance, Psalm 23. I mean, how many times have you read that over the years? And read it and get a fresh revelation the next day. The Word is living and active, and it is eternal. And again, in this hour, I mean, this is the final hour. It is. I don't go around putting time on things because, for one thing, and you'll see as I share this vision, you'll see that the power of God is going to be exponentially increased through His people in this hour. So it's not a natural progression anymore. It's a miraculous progression. As a matter of fact, He told me, it was a while back, a couple of months ago, He said, I don't want you to think in terms of natural progression anymore. And what it meant to me was, it just meant, okay, we believe for one thing and it comes in. Okay, what's the next thing? But He said, no, believe for miraculous intervention here and progression. And really to define the miraculous, I know when I started out, a miracle was something we oohed and aahed at, and it was wonderful, but we kind of sucked it dry for like 2 months, and people went on and gave a testimony and all that. But in this hour, God is going to do some very special things. And really, if you're going to define the miraculous or define what a miracle is, it's just simply God's intervention into the natural scheme of things. That's what a miracle is. Well, I have news for the church. That is the normal course of Christian life, the miraculous. And I've seen it. I mean, I've seen this transition happening, and I've seen people walking in this, and they're getting miracles, whether it's their next-door neighbor being blessed, that they've been praying for 3 years, and it looked hopeless, boom. Down came the blessing. Absolutely outstanding. I'm telling you, this is real, and God is real, and He's powerful. You know, we call Him Almighty God. We need to start treating Him with that kind of respect, because He is. And so, you know, because it's the final hour, God is revealing Himself in His absoluteness in this hour. And again, that goes back to what I said about Jesus being Lord. And we are going to see Him, and we're going to walk in that authority that He's given us. And it's going to, like I said, the devil's got a problem. And another thing, just to do a little circle here, one of the keys to the inner chamber is that it is a catalyst to a heart wholly given. In other words, when you enter into the presence of God, you're spending time with Him, there's light there. It's a place of quietness. I'm going to define it here shortly. But there's a place and there's an impartation that takes place. And the one thing is there's always light shining. And so sometimes when we go in, and a lot of people don't enter into that place of quietness before God because perhaps they have some sin, unconscious or otherwise, in their life, and they're shy about the whole thing. But I'll tell you, if you're in a position like that, that's the time to burst in boldly to the throne of grace. And I'll tell you a story. I mean, I was going through something, it was a number of years ago now, and I was just reluctant to let go of whatever it was. I don't even remember now. And I kept getting this vision of a surgical table. And I kind of get the idea that God wanted to do some surgery, and like some open heart surgery type of thing. And I get to the place where I get on the table, and then for some reason I get off just as God approached. I get off, you know, and it was silly, you know. So I go and struggle for another week or two, and then I get back on the table, and I get off again just as He was ready to do it. Well, finally, you know, when you come to the end of yourself in that area, I got on the table, and I'm telling you, He came in, and it was like two-second surgery, and it was over. And I spent 6 months afraid. And so the point that He taught me in that was that, first of all, we can trust Him. And two, it's not painful to lose the things in our lives that are just leading us into a bad spot or darkness of any kind, fear or maintaining fear. And so that was just one thing. And like I said, thank goodness the people that are coming along these days, and we won't have to put up with those 6 month trips around the mountain. I think we've worn the ruts around the mountain, worn a rut there. And we're supposed to go up the mountain, not around it. So anyway, the Father gave me a word on the inner chamber, and he said this to me. He said simply, the inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves to me. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, it does for the most part, but it does. You can be right going down the middle of a street in a city, and you can still shut yourself into God. I mean, but right now, he's specifically talking about that time frame that we give him the first fruits of the day, acknowledging him in all our ways. He said, the inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. Now, everybody has a different life. And everybody, you know, some people work 12 hours a day. Some people don't work at all. Some people do other things. So the bottom line is that I better read this next one because he just says, as one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I, quotation marks, have assigned them concerning the inner chamber. So again, it befalls each and individual Christian to go into the presence of God and say, Father, what do you require of me each day? And it can change each day, but I'm telling you, and this is what I'm going to share with you about, this is a place that is like no other. And I mean, I'm a firm believer in people listening to anointed teachings. I'm a firm believer, obviously, in meditating in the Word day and night, which we're called to do. But I'm telling you, there is a special impartation that takes place when you go one-on-one in the inner chamber with the Father and His Word. By the way, that's just a term that I picked up from an Andrew Murray book. I don't know if anybody knows Andrew Murray. Back years ago, as a matter of fact, that book's out of print now, but it's been reprinted in a different title. I could never find it, but I managed to get that title back. So that stuck with me, and that's why I use it. You can refer to it as the secret place of God's presence. The closet, whatever you want to refer to it as, but it's your time with God individually. And I think the one thing that would bless my heart the greatest to get across to anybody that I speak to is that God is perfectly trustworthy and He is perfect. In other words, He's not going to steer you wrong. He's not going to beat you over the head. He is not a critical God. You know, all these different things and the way that He's portrayed as an austere and stern God, a taskmaster. He's not that way. And people need to know that. They need to be able to understand Him, that He desires to be in even the smallest details of our lives. And just like a loving Father, we're children of God. You know, and He delights in the childlike heart. And we're called to walk by faith and trust. Well, we all know that small children, they don't have all these issues of faith and trust. If their parents say something, they're going to do it, you know, in the normal course of action. And the fact is that when it's a positive thing, when they do that, it always turns out for the best. Well, that's the way it is for us with God. And we need to, in one hand, we need to see ourselves as spiritual warriors and walking in all that has been provided for us in Christ. But we always need to see ourselves as childlike in our faith and in our trust in God. And again, that's another thing that will be maintained in the inner chamber. Through this fellowship, again, I could speak to you on the inner chamber for a long, long time, but what I'm sharing today and any time I mention it later on, is basically encouraging you to go in there and do in a fresh way and ask God what He requires of you, because I could sit here and explain the benefits for a long, long time, but when the individual Christian goes in there, they will experience an impartation. Getting back to what I was saying about meditating the Word day and night and listening to the teachings. And believe me, that's all good for the renewing of the mind and the importance of coming to know God. But this is a unique place that God wants each of His children to come into. And there's an impartation that takes place that can't take place anywhere else. I'm stating that bluntly because that's the absolute truth. And as I go on to share things, you'll see that with what God is requiring of us, we are not called to walk in our own power. We need His power. And not only that, we need to know all that's been purchased for us at Calvary by the blood of Jesus, because we are going to be a people that needs to walk in the fullness of our inheritance in this hour. That is very important. The inner chamber is the only position from which one shall overcome all things in this last hour. See, for too long, the church has misrepresented God, not consciously, But because there's been failure and defeat, and I'm talking at the hands of the devil now, because we've been powerless to handle situations properly, to feed the poor, to do the things we're supposed to be doing, the world looks at us and says, well, we can do a better job, or, but they don't, but they think they can, or they see us operating in the same principles they're operating in, and the job doesn't get done. And like I said earlier, trillions of dollars are actually going to dead works, and who knows where that money is going. The devil's taking it somewhere that it's not doing the maximum results. I'm telling you, God could take $10,000 and win a city. You know, they could take $10 million and lose money on the project they're starting on. It's just the way it is, because one is God and one is the devil. and that we have to realize that God's got a special plan. God is coming on the scene in this hour, and they're going to see him as he really is, as he truly is. You know, God really is simplifying things for us in this hour. You know, we study, as you look at Isaiah 58, and we talk about the true Sabbath rest. I'm not going to talk about the day thing. That's just silly. If people have a revelation of what the true Sabbath rest is, basically the two keys in that are that we've ceased striving from our own works and that we've ceased speaking our own words. In other words, you're abiding in Christ, and church is 7 days a week, and you're living the kingdom 7 days a week. And that's just important. It's absolute. The Father's deepest heart desire is for you to come to the place wherein you trust him wholly. The devil's scheme from the time of one's birth is to cause them to come into a mistrust of God. That's it from this time we're born. Thus keeping them from entering into the place of intimate fellowship in the inner chamber. And again, that's why it's so important for every Christian to have a revelation of the blood of Jesus. Because, you know, 1 John 1:9 talks about, as we confess our sins, he is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's all unrighteousness. And, you know, when we miss it, we need to be those type of people that just immediately go in and confess that sin and believe that we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, no matter how we feel, no matter what people are saying to us. But do that. When you do that, that's going to keep you in that place where your conscience won't be bothered to go into the presence of God. It's really a subconscious thing. But that's, again, why people practice going into the presence of God each day. This is like a cycle that it's light shines on any ground, it's dealt with. You go out, you don't sin, you come back in the inner chamber, you just get stronger day by day in the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And then eventually you just come to the point where you could see the temptation coming a mile away, or you could see the devil trying to get you to take a thought that's not of God. These things become an automatic, spontaneous manifestation of the Spirit operating within us. You see all God's power. A lot of people are confused. I mean, they have revelation in some area, but some areas they don't. Maybe they're holding part back from God. So because there's a blind spot there, they can't really understand God in that area. And so there's that ongoing cycle of sin, and their hearts are towards God, and they'll go back in and repent. But see, there's a lot of wasted time and motion there. But again, it's all been a learning process for all of us. And the fact is, he calls us to be perfect as he is perfect. And what that really means is he calls us to be righteously motivated towards him and towards all who cross our path. And he'll empower us to do it. You know, it's by his doing we are made the righteous of God in Christ. By his doing. Okay, so we've established then that dwelling or abiding in the presence of the Lord is the key to receiving the fullness of all that the Father has for us in Christ. It is the key to absolute empowerment in all things. Absolutely. I've come into the habit now. Nothing is too simple or too small for me to acknowledge God in. Because, you don't know what one simple step of obedience is going to lead to. So we want to make sure we get it right. And then when we obey, things will unfold. That will be a pattern in the church in this last hour. That as the church corporately begins to move forth, well, individually and corporately, begins to move forth in obedience, we're going to see that exponential increase and acceleration and release of God's power and love into every situation. It's the love of God that's going to win the world. You know, and you have to have the love of God abiding within you to witness. You're not a witness saying that God loves you. That's no good. But if you say God loves you and that love is emanating on those words you're speaking, the power of that anointing is going to expose any fear, any darkness, and it's going to cause people to run to God completely or totally from him for until another season. God in his mercy, infinite mercy, we know that, And as far as I'm concerned, as long as somebody's still breathing, they're still in this thing. It's the way I feel about it. And so in this hour, with this exponential increase in power, we're going to see a lot of things revealed. And again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Paul's scripture, what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15, every work will be exposed. Every work will be rewarded or judged. And that's a good thing. You know, judgment's not a bad thing. I mean, if I'm somebody out there and I'm doing something that's not God's will, and I'm actually in a position of leadership over people, I want to know I'm doing something wrong before it's too late. Because there's a dual responsibility there. One, you have your own responsibility to God. But then if you have people, you mentioned pastors or shepherds, you have people over you, or you're over them in the sense that you're leading them astray if you maintain darkness in your own life. And of course, it becomes a whole corporate environment of darkness. And that death just keeps, you know, going. Well, God is just simply going to undo what the devil's been doing and create environments that are filled with his light and love and peace. People, places where people can go and get free. When people go into a church on Sunday morning, they should come out freer than when they went in. Not more in bondage or not in the same state. And you know, I know you know all this. It's and I'm not here to bash anything. I'm just here to share with you that there's a transition taking place, and God is calling us to go on with him because he has a unique and marvelous part in that for each one of us. And, you know, one of the things, one of the mindsets that's really hurt people is it's that same type of mindset that in the corporate structure in the world, you know, people are clawing over each other to get to the top. But God gave me a vision one time, and in it I saw my elementary school stage. You know how they're always smaller? They have a gym, an auditorium. And I saw these people lined up there, and they're holding hands side by side like this. And in there, in that vision, I saw men and women, Jews, Greeks, every denomination under the sun, everybody who knew God, I mean, who was a child of God. And they were standing side by side with their hands held. And the father said, "This is the way I see my people." You know, there wasn't the apostle up here and the church janitor down here. That is the worldly thinking. And the hierarchy that's been established in the church up until this time in many places has got to come down, because basically it's rooted in idolatry. And again, I'm not saying that people understand this. They do not understand it, because if they really understood it, they wouldn't be doing it. But the fact is that people are then caught in the trap of following after people, and there's a spirit of idolatry working. And again, that's not bowing down to a golden calf necessarily. It can be it's just simply defined as, idolatry is defined as anything or anyone that's placed above your relationship with God, period. That's it. No matter what it is. It can be a good-looking thing and still be under a spirit of idolatry. God will bring that down in this era. He will not accept idolatry in any form. He didn't with the people of Israel and the golden calf, and he will not do it today. But again, in his infinite mercy, he is absolutely providing a way for us to walk above that and to lead others into that higher place. That's sure. I mean, it's really, when you really make the decision to serve God and love him with your whole heart, idolatry is something you want out of your life. You know, you don't want any of that self-desire and that junk. But unfortunately, in many people, if their heart's not yet wholly given to God, their entire life consists of emotional attachments and social fellowship and all those types of things. And there's nothing inherently wrong with them in themselves, except that if it takes the place of God, then there is. And that's for each person to discern that, you know. And that's where you find out where you stand, is in the inner chamber. And when you're faithful to go in every day, God will do a work, and he's doing a marvelous work. But the bottom line in that work is to bring us into an absolute trust. He's our Father, you know. And I was blessed. My father lived till 3 months short of 100 in excellent health. And I was blessed to have a good father. But I'm telling you, in the time that I've spent with God in the last many years now, he's my father. Even when my earthly father was still living, he became my father, and it superseded that. And that allowed me to be in right relationship with my earthly father. And I'll show you this, the way God showed it to me in a vision. People are so concerned at times about getting their relationships right, and they're looking down here. But the key is this, and I saw, I think it was the Trevi Fountain in France, he showed me, and it was a big fountain anyway, and it had a top like this up here, and it had bowls that got bigger as you went down. Well, the water was shooting up through the top, and it would cascade down and overflow to all these different ones. And what he showed me in that was, he said, as my people come into my presence and partake of my love, then my love and my relationship with them will just flow down and touch every one of their relationships, whether it's your children, your spouses, whatever. And I'm telling you, that is freedom. And that's how you come into a proper marriage. That's how you come into a proper relationship with your children. That's how you abide in the wisdom of God and the love of God. And then, of course, you don't have all this strife and division, all this other stuff that the devil tries to do. I mean, what an attack there has been on relationships in the body of Christ in the, well, since I've been doing it, but I mean, particularly in these last few years. It's been brutal. And the fact is, God wants to undo that and establish things the way they're supposed to be on every level. Well, it doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're talking about. So that vision of the school platform was very important. We need to understand that we're all equal in His sight. And when we do spend that time in the inner chamber, the key is this. We will begin to see ourselves through His eyes. And I'm telling you this right now, when you see yourself through His eyes, you will not have a fear of man or what others think again, ever. And I'll tell you why. Because you will have divine approval in your heart, and it will flood out, and it will cause you to, and I'm not saying disapproval by, you know, people around us is pleasant. And you'll have to guard your heart with all diligence, but it won't draw you into a place of compromise. It won't cause you to disregard something that actually is God's will to maintain the peace in a natural way. That is so, I mean, I had such fear. I didn't tell you this. When I started out, I was in total fear of everything. I mean, it had gotten to the point where I'd been attacked by a spirit of depression for many years. And the fact was that it got to the point where it was just, well, near the end, I couldn't even go to the house at times. You know, I'd start to get a panic attack if I was going out of the house. So God brought me from a place of total fear to a place of absolute freedom from that. And so what I'm sharing with you, I'm just simply sharing what He did for me and how He did it. And, you know, it's not going to take people 25 years in this area. And, you know, these principles I'm sharing with you, it's not like you've arrived. I mean, you have these principles, but we need to guard our heart every day to do these things. That's why Paul said that, really, when he was ministering to the Philippians, because they were doing quite well, actually, the Philippians. They were actually getting some really good revelations and so on. But he cautioned them. He said, look, I haven't arrived. And he was getting near the end of his ministry. It's the same letter he wrote that said, well, you know, I mean, if I had a choice, basically, he'd say, I'd go home now, but I know that there's some things God has me to do for you, so I'm going to stay. So he was getting near the end. And he said, well, I've not yet arrived. Well, if Paul hasn't arrived at the end of his ministry, then neither have we. But the principle there is simply that this is a day-to-day thing. And the time frame in the kingdom is now, and now, and now. It's not a time frame, per se, as the world does. And really, the only kind of time that matters to God is when His will enters into in the fullness of time, just manifests in the physical. And we need to redeem our time, because we are walking this earth still, obviously. So again, the inner chamber is the place of empowerment, and it is the key to the fullness of transition into kingdom living. So again, I've shared a few things with you on that and what that means, but it encompasses everything. It absolutely does. And so what I'm sharing with you here is basically little tidbits, but He will bless each individual heart just how they need to be blessed. And we're talking again about believing for miraculous progression in our own lives day to day now. Not just, oh, well, maybe we'll do better this week. No, I mean it. I mean it. I've seen evidence of this already as people have stepped out in faith and stuff that is starting to happen that just they've been praying for years and it's just fallen off like it was never there off people. Absolutely. That's why I'll encourage you here. I may do it again through the week. Don't ever give up on anything God's given you to pray. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long it's been, because this is the time where His power is going to enter on the scene, and He will make those things that seem impossible become reality. Absolutely. The key is just simply getting a revelation, praying according to that revelation, and depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that to pass. And it's going to happen quicker and quicker each day. And again, you know, the inner chamber is the only place where one is going to overcome, be empowered to overcome in all things. You know, God told me, He said, my people are going to need to walk in the fullness of their inheritance to fulfill not only their own destiny, but to overcome in this hour. We need the fullness of what Jesus bought for us at Calvary. And I'll tell you why. that fits right in. Number one, we're in the final hour. Number two, the Father holds the blood of Jesus extremely precious. And he is not going to waste one drop of that blood. And we need to be believing in all that that blood purchased. And we talked a bit about this last night, but it's like if people don't believe that healing's for us today, that's denying the blood of Jesus. You know, and there's a lot of other things I could go into, which I won't. But if you want to get right down to it, even willfully disobeying God or disobeying, it's denying the blood of Jesus. Because he paid the price for us to walk totally empowered by him. He actually walked the walk that we're called to walk. You know, people say, well, no, that was Jesus. That's a very immature attitude, and I'll tell you why. Because Jesus came and he ministered in his earthly ministry as a prophet under the old covenant. But the catch was, all right, he was the spotless Son of God. He didn't have sin. Well, guess what we are in the sight of God? We are the spotless children of God because of the blood of Jesus. We are now, therefore, walking under the same anointing that he walked under. Otherwise, and this, I know you all know this, but otherwise, why would he say in John 14:12 that we would do greater works than him? No, I'm telling you, he is absolutely prototypical of the anointing that the glorious church will walk in this final hour, the spotless and unblemished church. Absolutely. And, you know, consequently, it's not surprising that when you look at what he spoke, he didn't spend a lot of time talking to them about their old traditions and customs. He talked about the end of the age. He talked about the kingdom and people living in the kingdom. Really, if you read the words of Jesus in that new light, I mean, just in the light of that fact, you'll understand that he knew what the deepest desire of the Father's heart was a spotless and unblemished church. And he was already planting the seeds in his earthly ministry before he went to the cross. Yeah, God doesn't miss anything. He took care of a lot of stuff. And so those words today, and even like I said earlier, the pattern being shown throughout the Old Testament prophets and the entire Old Testament, it's amazing. God does not contradict himself. Then God began to show me, this is kind of summarizing this first section, six necessities. I mean, the reason why the inner chamber is necessary, six necessities of life in the inner chamber. Number one, every child of God must continually seek to come to the place wherein they have a revelation of each and every aspect of the glorious covenant they have with the Father in Christ. Okay, we talked about that a bit. Number two, as one enters into the fullness of their salvation or their inheritance in Christ in this final hour, they are going to have to be continually clothed and empowered by the precious blood of Jesus. And that is twofold. One, we need to have a revelation of that precious blood. We need to have a revelation of the power. There's great power. I have seen demons scattered instantaneously in places where there are strongholds that wouldn't budge. It's an amazing thing. But we as believers need to be believing. These things don't just fall. We don't just say a wishy-washy prayer. We need to be a people who have a revelation of the blood, and then we can walk in the fullness of the power and accomplish the spiritual warfare that we truly have. Satan has got a problem. He is going to spend the remainder of this time as the glorious church takes legs, fleeing from an army that is filled with the power and presence of God. Absolutely. It's a dangerous thing for people who aren't under this, though, because he's going to attack things that are attackable. Number three, gaining and maintaining a deep revelation of the power of the precious blood of Jesus and its powerful effects is the key to consistent fellowship in the inner chamber. Now, what that means basically is, as we are continually cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we won't get into that sin consciousness or that unworthiness consciousness. That, again, unworthiness consciousness is something that's overridden. When we get a revelation of actually who we are in Christ and what belongs to us, then you see it just clears the way into the presence of God. And that's very, very powerful, because it's very easy to get subtly, oh, I just don't feel so good today. I kind of fouled up yesterday. And the next thing you know, we don't go in the inner chamber. Well, that's what the devil wants. But that's where we need to go boldly in, and it's over very quickly. And we need to develop a righteousness consciousness. And when we go in there, and like I said, I don't take sin lightly. That's not my point. But the point is, if we do miss it, we go in there and we just say, Father, forgive me, whatever. And then I just thank you that I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus. And that's it. And I mean it. And I don't care what your feelings are like. You walk on. And when you do that and practice that, first of all, you won't be sinning anymore. And then you'll get a revelation that the power, that blood. And that is extremely important. Absolutely. Oh, this is another one of those revelations that's going to come forth in this hour. We're going to see that, and it's absolutely important. Number four, all true kingdom work is predicated upon one being solely in Christ. Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me. You know, you don't have to write a book on that. You can do nothing apart from me. You can add, you can do nothing or say anything apart from me that will bear fruit for my kingdom. But you see, what God commands, God empowers. So when we see a commandment in the word or an instruction, we know that there's empowerment there. And what I'm saying to you is when you put yourself in the proper position in the inner chamber, and we're going to talk more about this, when we put ourselves in the proper position, that empowerment is there. This thing all rolls together, all comes together. We're not called to empower ourselves. We've tried that for the last 2,000 years. It does not work. Number five, if we have the deep assurance in our heart that we are in the center of the Father's will and purpose, then it is certain that we shall be found standing or overcoming in all things. Now, another thing, when you have a revelation of God's will and when you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you through that step by step, you have built within you, by the power of God, what I call a divine assurance. It's the same thing that you know, for instance, if somebody came up to you and said, well, you're not born again. Well, you know because you know because you know because you know that you're born again. Well, that's the way God wants us to be with every aspect of the Scriptures. It's that simple. It's just that, again, the whole point of this divine requirement is it's an absolute requirement. So when a heart's wholly given to God, all these things work together. If it's not wholly given to God, they don't work together, and we fall far short of the glory. Literally, that's not getting back into before the new birth, but just falling short of the glory that God wants to manifest in any given situation. But that deep assurance is a precious thing, because I'm telling you, you get that revelation from God, and the devil will start running people by you telling you that's not God, it can't be God, it's the devil, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, they called Jesus demon-possessed. And again, I just finished saying earlier that we are going to walk in the same anointing that Jesus walked in. And the fact is, they're going to call us that way too. They're going to say, what we're doing is of the devil. And also, they're not even going to be able, they didn't understand the miracles of God in those days through Jesus. They called him, it was of the devil, they said. And how they're going to do that now, but they will. And they are. Yeah, that's true. And the fact is that, but the good news is, again, when we're talking about this holiness and purity, and we're talking about the absolute love of God being released, it is going to crush the devil. And all these things, that's what it's for. Jesus said, it came to what? Destroy the strongholds of the enemy. And he's going to finish the job, and he's going to use us to do it. That's the way it is. And then, so that divine assurance is very, very important. That's why, you know, God never gives you an instruction, an aspect of his will, suddenly, and oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. It's not like, that's the devil who does that. God will, and if anybody has any doubt or any fears to anything at all, you can just go to God and say, oh, I'm not sure about this. Because usually, I mean, he's going to call some people to some life-changing decisions in this hour. And the fact is that you can go to God and say, well, Father, I don't know. I don't know if this is you or not. And I just need confirmations. And he'll do it. He's not going to rush you and say, oh, no, you have to do that tomorrow. Never. I've never seen it in all the years. Never, not once. Because God is in charge of this time thing. And it's the devil that tries to get us to make these impulsive things to get us out outside the will of God. Then the divine assurance isn't there. Then we don't know what we're doing. And then next thing you know, you got 20 people coming telling you how wonderful you are. You know, it's exactly the opposite, see? And then you think, oh, that must be God. No. We're going to cover more of these things. But I'm telling you, there's a way to hear God in this hour and a way to walk in the power. And we're going to deal with those things. So the last thing then. Every child of God needs to know and understand what it is to be loved by the Father. Having a revelation of the Father's perfect love is the catalyst to one abiding in an absolute trust toward or faith in him. And I'm telling you, this is where it gets down, right to where the rubber hits the road. If the individual Christian will simply have the revelation with the Father and his word that he requires of them, they will fulfill their destiny in Christ. They will fulfill all that they were created for from before the foundations of the earth. And, you know, I always tell this to people, you know, if you want to simplify your walk, if you want to simplify your priorities, then this should be your goal. This is the way I look at it. It's like someday we're going to step into heaven. And, you know, when we do, I believe Jesus will be there to meet us. I don't know how he's going to do it all at once, but he's God. He can do it. But the fact is, and all we want to hear out of his mouth is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've accomplished all that you were created for from before the foundations of the earth. And when you maintain that eternal perspective, it really helps you to focus on godly desire, and it really absolutely will give you, set in motion this desire to be with Him and this desire to see His best, not only for yourself, because you'll realize that in seeking His best for yourself, it's simply so you can impart His best. You can only impart what you've received from God, absolutely. And you can read the Word, you can read the Scriptures, you can say what they say, but there's no power. Everybody will nod their head and say, oh, that's okay, that's good. But there's no power to deliver them or to change their heart or whatever is needed in that case. So, well, I'm going to stop there, and then we'll continue on and just see what part two takes us in this. I'll just close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for the Word gone forth. And most importantly, Father, we just thank You that You're revealing Your heart to us in this hour, that You are drawing Your children unto Yourself, and that You're establishing the true relationship that You so desire with us. And we so much appreciate You, and we just thank You, Lord, that this day we move even closer to You, and we just thank You for all the glorious things that You have planned for us. In Jesus' name, amen.